Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
USA hasn't scored a goal yet.
Nope.
In the first minute, USA and Thailand, and USA is favored by 5.5 goals. Would be quite the upset if the Thai women. Yeah. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Go ahead, Crowder. Everyone has been outraged since. Now, it was a bad look. I really do believe this. Last night, Kevin Durant goes down. We all knew the context of him coming back to play, and we all knew what he has at stake, obviously, when the season's over and whatnot. But when he went down, there was some applause and cheering from the Toronto fans, and then Kyle Lowry, I forget who else, kind of said, hey, what are you doing?
Serge Ibaka. Serge, I'm mad, yeah.
And then, you know, the fans started chanting KD and whatnot. And there has been outrage, just mad anger pointed at Toronto fans. And in your take as a former professional athlete is?
I take emotion out of a lot of things, and that's why I'm called heartless. And I got emotional about this, but on the wrong side, I think. I know this is a minority opinion, and not saying because I'm black. I think it's just not a lot of people that think the way about it. Those people are invested in Toronto Raptors. The best player on the opposing team cannot play basketball anymore. Their investment, emotionally and financially, is the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors have a better chance of winning a championship and bringing a championship to their city if KD goes down. They paid for those tickets. They can cheer for or boo whoever the hell and whatever the hell they want to. It's just like they're humans, first and foremost. Humans are flawed. Humans are flawed and they're selfish. If you don't think you're selfish, you're silly. Go give. Why do you save money for yourself? Give it all away. Don't have any savings. Because why do you want to just sit on it? For your future, that's why you want to sit on it. Humans are flawed and selfish. And 20,000 people, how many were drunk? 10,000? You know what I'm saying? People are flawed. They're humans. And I like the analogy of stocks and bonds. If people don't know it, I'll do a little quick financial thing. When stocks are doing great, bonds aren't doing that great. When bonds are doing great, stocks, they go up and down. They're opposite. They're on opposite sides of the financial investment spectrum pretty much. When you get out of stocks early and get into bonds and you catch them low, and then everybody else is behind you and they move their money out of stocks when they start dropping and get into bonds and move the bonds up, you make double your money, triple your money on the backs of the people that didn't move their money. Do you feel sorry for those people when your 401k comes back a little better than theirs? No. Because that's what you're invested in, yourself. That is what Toronto Raptors are invested in. I got hot today talking about they should be ashamed of themselves. Should the fans be ashamed? No, they shouldn't be ashamed of themselves. They have no investment in Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's never going to the Raptors. Kevin Durant can only stop them from winning a championship. They can cheer if KD goes down. Are they cheering for him never to play basketball again? Are they cheering for him not to recover from his injury? No, they are cheering for him to not play to give their team a better chance of winning. If I was in Toronto, I would be flat out honest. I would have cheered when Kevin Durant went down because that makes my team closer to a NBA championship. It is so naive. It is so stand on a hill. I'll call out everybody. Skip and Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith and Dono and Fredo and Zach and Joe this morning, they're all BS. It's all BS what you're saying. How can you do that when a guy's injured? A guy making $30 million a year playing basketball gets hurt playing basketball, and now you're up in arms that somebody was excited about it and his injury benefits them? That's the craziest damn point in the world, craziest side to take in the world that, oh, it's classless. Who came out and said that? DeMarcus Cousins. It's classless. What class? You're supposed to be full of class for an opposing team that wants to stop you from winning the championship? It's nothing. It is what a fan means. Fanatic. Irrational love for that thing. Irrational love for that team. It is so fake, flawed, stand on your soapbox, BS. I almost want to cuss during this little rant because everybody's acting like, oh, this is so upsetting that they cheered. They want their team to win a championship, and that's all sports is about. Everybody watches the Super Bowl. Everybody watches the finals. Everybody watches the championship. Everybody watches the college basketball, Final Four, championship for their team to win. And if any aspect of that game makes your team have a chance of winning, it's a cheerable moment. That's what I'm saying. And anybody else disagrees with me, you're full of crap. You might be trying to get a date. You might be trying to make your boss happy or look like a greater person. Call me heartless. Call me emotionless, whatever you want to say. Human nature, and it's natural, and I don't give a damn what you want to say about me. You're lying to yourself if you get mad that Toronto Raptor fans cheered. It's full of crap.
Here's one of the texts that has come in. I'll say one thing about this. Here's one of the texts, though. When a Dolphin player blows up a wide receiver across the middle, we cheer. Then we calm down and hope they're okay, which I think is kind of what happened last night. I think people are judging the Toronto fans in the first instant reaction. That first instant reaction, what Crowder's talking about there, because I don't disagree with them. I do on some of it, but I don't disagree with them on this. You're there. You've spent a lot of money on tickets. You've been having some drinks. You've been thinking for the last few nights about getting there, maybe seeing your team hoist that trophy, right? The Larry O'Brien trophy is there in the building. And what happens in the first quarter? Kevin Durant comes back, and he's kicking your ass. Yeah. He comes back. He's looking good. In that moment where he goes down, and you may not realize the severity of it. You're not watching it on TV like we are. You may be watching the action. You may have thought the ball got stolen from KD and he's pouting right now on the ground and then he's going to get up and play some offense. And so your instantaneous reaction is to cheer. Oh, look at this. We have a good play and maybe we have a chance here. And it got straightened out. I don't think anyone in that arena was rooting for Kevin Durant to tear an Achilles. I don't think anybody was rooting for him to be injured. But as Crowder's saying, in that instant, when you're a fan, but here's the part that I...
But the outcome benefits you.
Sure.
That's kind of my point. I don't care what happened to him. The outcome of KD benefited the Raptors and their fan base. So they're supposed to be sad. What overcomes the chance of winning a championship or Kevin Durant getting injured to a Raptors fan? What's more important to them? Larry O'Brien or KD's Achilles?
You want that parade, man.
That's what you want. So
it's like,
why?
Get out. I want those eyes, man.
So why the hell would you care about an opposing player? Look, I'll put myself in it. When I saw the safety from, I want to say, the Kansas City Chiefs hit Tom Brady in his knee in 2008 and Tom Brady was declared out, I was ecstatic. You know why? Because I was on the Miami Dolphins. I've been on the Miami Dolphins. That was my fourth season. Tom Brady's been kicking my ass for 4 years, winning Super Bowls. And now we're in the same division. You know what happened when the safety, I think his name, Hegbo or something. It was some crazy last name, I believe. When he tore Tom Brady's ACL, that opened up the AFC East. That's how I looked at it. Call me heartless. I didn't look at it as the best quarterback of all time getting his knee injured. I looked at it as the best team in the NFL now is not the best team anymore. That's one of the last two playoff appearances we've had in a long time. And if Tom Brady is healthy in 2008, do we go to the playoffs that year, Hawk?
No.
No chance in the hell, because people don't remember, they were 11-5 as well.
Without him.
So Brady's back. Do they go 12-4? Do they go 13-3? You know what I'm saying? Like, look at it. I was ecstatic, and I didn't even do it. We weren't a part of the game. I remember watching ESPN, watching the play, and pumping my fist saying, oh, Brady's out? We got action, baby. And my heartless call me heartless, but I understand where the Toronto Raptor fans are going.
And again, I want to point out, they corrected it. It was an instantaneous reaction. And I find a larger parallel to it, which is like even Draymond Green last night. You know, you talk about fans getting caught up in the moment and your emotions sometimes take over. And sometimes you make decisions when you're emotional that you wouldn't make if you were of sound mind. It's why I'm always amazed at when A defensive player gets called for a hold when they didn't hold. A roughing the passer penalty where they didn't touch the quarterback. A foul in the paint where there was no contact. And we always what? Hey, just go back and play your game. Like, fans ask players all the time to take the emotion out of it. Be a robot. Act like you've been there before. Don't spike the football. Don't do a dance. Blah, blah, blah. But in that moment, and I've always said, I don't blame anyone in those situations because I know I get emotional about things. And I kind of feel that was a fan version of that last night. And I'm going to say this. I thought it looked unseemly. I was shocked when they started to cheer because I didn't expect that to happen. But I tried to give it a little context in my head, which is, I think, what you just kind of eloquently pointed out, which is everyone's there. There's that mob mentality. It's fun. And again, it was a momentary lapse that got corrected pretty quickly. Like, they needed to be reminded, and that's fine. I didn't think it was as big a deal as a lot of pundits have made it to be today.
No, and it was all they were talking about until the Tom Brady analogy. Did I come in and tell the media and tell the whole team, hey, guys, this is our year now, Brady's hurt, yes. But when I saw that news, this is the chance for us to win the AFC East, which we did. I have my shirt and my hat at home. I don't wear it because y'all make fun of me.
USA just scored, by the way. USA leading Thailand 1-0 in the 12th minute. Oh, well, now you've put me in a terrible spot, Solana.
Why is that?
Well, you can't start playing the national anthem and then just end it, and I can't really talk over it, and now I got to stand up, too. I mean, terrible producing. You want to cut off the national anthem in the middle of the song? We're going to do this for every goal. They're favored by 5.5 goals.
Can you fade it out?
You want to stand up, buddy?
I got it. You can't fade it out. Miss Mike got a long way to go for me to stand up. That's the real version.
Had you thought about this, Solana, at all?
Not really.
You couldn't just play like Lee Greenwood, born in the proud to be an American, or Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA.
Oh, this is my favorite part right here.
The first game of Group F.
And the first goal in the 11th minute.
It's going on for a month, man. My knee hurts.
And the home of the... Come on, guys.
I don't want to say take it out of there, but don't.
Let's just do like maybe a patriotic song, like Born in the USA or something like that. You
something
know?
We can fade out.
You know, something we can fade out, and I don't have to stand up, and it's, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Almost reached your standing goal for the day, huh?
<You know? laughs> I didn't want to reach it this early in the day.
Yeah, man. I was arguing about this at the gym this morning. I was mad at home. This got to me.
I do believe that there's a valid point to be made. I think you come across as extremely heartless on it, but I think you kind of have to do that in order to prove your point. I think there's a little more nuance to it than what you're saying. I get it. The Tom Brady analogy, like it, that one I don't think is analogous because your livelihood is dependent on being able to go, you know, further in, like, it matters a little bit more to you. Like
the Dolphin fans, though. They knew what the outcome of Tom Brady not playing was.
Right.
They should have been more excited for the 2008 season. It was the first game of the season.
But I think people
for
were,
Tom Brady to tear his ACL.
I think people were excited because it gives you a chance, but I don't think that you would, you know, visibly applaud the moment he goes down and stuff.
I got a fist bump in. That was up to that point. So that's year four for me. That's twice a year. I've had my ass kicked 6 times in a row by this individual. He's hurt. We got action. We got action, Jack. You see what I'm saying?
Like, I get it.
It's what you talking about human emotion. It's what it is. Humans are selfish. We don't know KD. What's KD's middle name? You made fun of him for giving his mom a shout out when he won the MVP. KD is basketball. If Kevin Durant's name was Josh Wasknaiskenwing, but he had KD's ability, you would not care what Kevin Durant was. You would care about Josh Waskanaska King. You love people's ability. You love your team, but you love your team and those players because they're playing for your team. You don't love them. You don't care about them.
Wayne.
Huh?
Kevin Durant's middle name, Wayne.
But you see what I'm saying? And this is what fans, and this is, we get into this, and it kind of comes back to this all the time. Y'all love Dan Marino's arm. Y'all love 13's football ability. There are thousands of people that call Dan Marino an a-hole when he's not around. And I've heard enough stories where I think some people have credence on calling him a butt wipe, how he treated them in the street. Those people still have 13 jerseys. Why? Because of his damn arm strength and his ability to win football games and score points. That's what y'all love. You can disagree with it, fans, if you want to. That's what y'all love. Dwayne Wade was a great shooting guard. He was the best shooting guard and best basketball player in Miami Heat history. If Dwayne Wade was Mario Chalmers, how many people have Chalmers jerseys? That's the part of sports, and that's what you're talking about, that I get into it all the time and I come off as heartless. But I know what it's about. If I got drafted to the Patriots, y'all would all hate me. If I went in 2005 and I, like Mel Kiper told me, if I went 32nd to the Patriots, nobody in South Florida would like me. Y'all would actually hate me. Such a great guy. He's so funny. Oh, he's great. Oh, no, he's a Patriot. He can go to hell. Y'all don't like me. You liked my ability, and now you like my ability on the radio. It's taking emotion out of it. I know people don't like to do that, but it honestly is what it is. You can admit it or not admit it. But as I talk, just hear what I'm saying, because it is 100% true.
It's an interesting debate, and I know people get riled up over it, but I do believe there's a lot of validity to what Crowder's saying. I think that the outrage has been overblown. I really do, because I do think it was momentary. I think it was, wow, we've got a chance to win a championship tonight. And then it was, hey, man, hope he's okay. I don't want him back in the game.
No. You
but
can't
hope he's okay.
No, if you hope he's okay, I hope he just got a cramp. Do you think Toronto Raptors fans hope he had a cramp or hope that he was injured for the entire series? Because an injury for the series would then give you a better chance of getting at Larry O'Brien.
Understood.
And that's all it's about.
But it's still bad form. But anyway, John Crotty is going to join us next. I don't want to debate it till we're blue in the face. But John Crotty, who is a former NBA player himself, former Miami Heat player, now a Heat broadcaster, he's going to join us in the next segment. We can continue the conversation with him. Hurricane season is here, and this is a perfect reminder for you to call or visit BNT, Impact Windows and Doors. BNT is the company my wife and I use for our home. Great feeling when you have PGT Custom Windows and Doors protecting everything. Not only does our house look better than it has in years, we were out in the swimming pool this weekend, and all of a sudden all the hurricane shutters are gone off the back, and we repainted the back of the house, and you've got the beautiful new sliders in. My kid is like, wow, this is like a whole new backyard. BNT Impact Windows and Doors is the way to go. Tom and Brett, they came out to our house. They showed us exactly which PGT Custom Windows and Doors would serve us well, and then boom, we were on our way. And another great thing about BNT, they handle everything. They got our homeowners association approval. They got the city permits. The communication while we were waiting for the installation was great. The actual installation was flawless. When the city comes to inspect, BNT was right there with us in case the inspectors had any questions. Just so thrilled we use BNT Impact Windows and Doors for our home. And so there's some other great news too. There's a mail-in rebate for PGT products, and BNT will help you submit it all. You can get $30 per window and $100 per door with a minimum of 5 products or more, and it applies to aluminum or vinyl frame and WindGuard series. And the rebate is good now through July 19th. And the rebate, as long as it's submitted before September 20th, you are good to go. So you got even more reasons to call BNT Impact Windows and Doors. Call them at 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126, or online at BNT Impact Windows. Oh, I see USA scored again. USA 2-0. Don't fire it off again. BNT Impact Windows.com. Radio.com. Radio.com. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Kubota. Kubota BX80 Series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Team USA leading Thailand 2-0 in the 25th minute right now. John Crotty is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, friend of ours, and longtime NBA player. Even played a season for the Miami Heat, now a Heat broadcaster. You see him on Fox Sports Sun and all kinds of activity for karate.
Yeah.
And here he is. Hello, John.
What's up, guys? Hey, Hawk.
Well, Crowder got everybody angry in the last segment, all the listeners, because Crowder has a fairly it comes across as heartless, but I think it's more of a product of being an NFL player for six seasons, where he looks at the Kevin Durant injury and the cheering from Toronto at the beginning, and Crowder's like, oh, get over yourselves. These are fans. They paid money to be in the arena. In that moment, their team has a greater chance of hoisting a trophy that night, and it's not as big a deal as people are making it out to be in the media today.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's unfortunate, you know. I mean, it's a shame, really a shame for him and trying to come back and have this happen to him, but it's part of the game. I mean, look, Channing knows. I mean, it's, you know, you, every time you go out on the court or the field, what have you, something can happen. You can hurt yourself, and you may never be the same again. And you got to enjoy it while you have it. And you know, this is really sad to see. But what's amazing today, more than probably, you know, obviously any other time, is you can have one of these traumatic injuries and still come back and be an effective player, right? I mean, through the power of surgery and the rehab stuff they have now, it's, you know, this could have been a career-ending type of catastrophe, and yet, you know, I think he'll be out for probably a year, but there's going to be teams, including Golden State, that'll want him back, and other teams that are going to, you know, are willing to pay him a year to just rehab, right, to have his services down the road because he's such a talented guy.
And, John, like, should the Toronto Raptors fans be concerned with the opposing team's health? Like, that's my whole thing, where they want their team to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy, and him being out gives them a better chance. It's easy to see.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it's luck of the draw, right? It could very easily have been, you know, a Kawhi Leonard situation, right, where he aggravates something. Look, you want your team to win. You know, I've heard Coach Spoelstra say this, the Heat coach, on numerous occasions. He goes, look, you'd love to play against, you know, the opposing team's best players because you really want to know you're the best team. But, you know, the reality is, you know, injuries come up, they happen, and you deal with who's ever on your team to put out there or who's on the opposing team out on the floor. And, you know, look, the fans are emotional right now. I mean, this Toronto city is ready to explode, and to be up 3-1, I mean, you know, you want to try to close. This is a dangerous Golden State team. You do not want them to get any momentum. Now go home, play with confidence at home, and to have to come back and play Game 7 in Toronto, you know, you just wonder the pressure that the Raptors would be under if it comes down to that scenario.
What do you think is going to happen now? Because there's, what, two games left? I feel like KD was kind of the impetus behind their performance last night, because, I mean, he looked great in the first quarter, right? I mean, there was no, like, he looked great in the first quarter. They were able to maintain that lead for most of the night up until the end. Although, and we haven't even talked about this today, Nick Nurse had a disastrous timeout when Kawhi, like, he's in one of those zones that you wait for your star to get into. What'd you think about that Nick Nurse timeout last night?
Yeah, that one was like just under 3 minutes, I think. You know, it's a tough call, because he felt like, I'd heard some of his comments where he's like, I felt my guys were gassed and we were in a great rhythm, but he goes, I really wanted them to catch a breath and get ready for the final push. So that's a real feel thing, and obviously the momentum really shifted in Golden State's favor after that timeout. So that's a hard one, because it very well could have been the right move, you know, in some cases as well. So, you know, I don't know. I think the pressure really shifts to Toronto. This is an unproven team who, you know, hasn't been there other than Kawhi. They haven't been there. You know, they're going to be going into a hostile stadium now. Golden State has got so much confidence. I mean, these guys have been there. They've done it. They've been in really tight situations and been able to find a way to win. I think in Golden State's favor is a healthier Klay Thompson. I mean, having him out early in the series along with Durant, I think that was just too much for them to overcome. But getting a healthy Klay Thompson or a healthier Klay Thompson back and, you know, able to play even with Durant out, still gives them a real credible opportunity to be able to come back and then make this a series.
And John, I think pretty much everybody noticed because they were talking about it, but why did both teams slow the pace down? They both went to half-court basketball late in the game, and they stopped the transition stuff. Why would a coach go about it that way?
Yeah, it's really the flow of playoff basketball. If you'll hear the term expressions, a possession game. You know, towards the end of close or towards the end of close games, that you can't continue to play at that breakneck speed more often than not because you make turnovers, you make mistakes, and it's just, I don't know, it's human nature. The game slows down. It becomes more of a half-court type game. That's traditionally been the NBA, the best teams have always had to execute in the half court in the critical moments down the stretch, being able to, run good pick and roll, have good spacing and shot making as the clock's winding down, or be able to win. You can't just play fast, throughout the course of the game. There'll be bursts, obviously, where you play that faster style, but particularly when you're defensively creating turnovers where you can get out and then you have numbers, right? You're 3-on-2, you're 2-on-1, and then you can convert with a man advantage. But, more often than not, in a close game like this, it's going to slow down naturally without the coaches even having to call it. Players are going to try to get organized and try to create sets.
USA just scored another goal. It's 3-0 now. Team USA over Thailand, 31st minute. Fire off a little Born in the USA, Solani. You have anything on standby?
All I have is the Star Spangled Banner.
Don't play that, because you start playing that, I got to stand up. I can't talk over it. I can't, it's a whole thing now. You don't have any Springsteen, Lee Greenwood. How about Miley Cyrus Party in the USA? Anything. I'm reaching here. Like anything. You got anything? Anything we can celebrate a 3-0 lead?
I have the Star Spangled Banner, Hawk.
Yeah, don't fire that off right now, though. My knees are hurting, and I don't want to become a whole media sensation. John Crotty is with us. John Crotty is with us, Fox Sports son and longtime NBA ball player. So what do you think happens, though? Two games left. The series shifts back to Oracle now, and I feel like Golden State's got a little breath here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's new life. They have a one-game mentality, right? You can't think big picture. You just think, hey, we're going home. This is a place we've been super successful. I think Kevin Durant outlook, it's deflating. They're going to need some other performances from guys outside of Thompson and Steph Curry. I still think Toronto has a great opportunity. It's so hard to beat a team three straight times, guys. I mean, that just never happens. I forget what the numbers are when you're up 3-1, but the percentages lead so much in your favor to be able to close it out and just get one win. Obviously, I think they got to come out early and match the energy. Golden State will come out in their building. As long as they don't get down too big in a hole and they can hang around, Kawhi is just, clearly the MVP of the series and a guy who they can rely on to make plays and make shots down the stretch. I still like Toronto to find a way to win this series.
And, John, on the way out, I gotta give you a heat question, man. I read a report today saying that Gorin is undecided on opting out of his player option for $19.2 million. Why would Gorin opt out of $19.2 million, John?
I don't know. I mean, between that and Hassan's, opt-in, they're such big numbers. The only thing I would say there, if there's some sort of situation where maybe he gets more years, and a bigger guarantee somewhere, but I don't know anything about that. And he's one of my favorite players on the team. I love the way he competes. You were talking about pace earlier. This is a guy who really pushes pace and is a fun guy, I think, to play with. The players like playing with him because he's like a fast break machine. You run the wing, you're going to get rewarded with lobs and passes at the basket. And he's been, arguably Miami's most reliable, scorer, too, outside, Wade throughout the course of this year, too. I mean, he had a rough year injury-wise, but over the last 3-4 years, he has been a very reliable scorer and been able to be playing a lot of games. Outside of this year, he's been a real competitor for the Heat.
John Crotty, you going to watch any of the Women's World Cup as it gets down in the tournament?
I love soccer. Played it in high school a bit, too. I love it. I think it's great watching it. I love the fact that the U.S. are just you know, such favorites too. It's great to see them out there and, you know, getting their platform to do it. Strong start too. You know, they're not playing around getting up 3-0. That's the thing about soccer where anything can happen. You know, if you wait on and all of a sudden you get upset by that one miracle shot. I had a chance. I was in London and, in February during the Heat All-Star break and got to go watch Chelsea play in the English Premier League. And I'll tell you, man, that was next level. Just the fan bases, and they played Manchester United, and the game was electric over there. It's you know, it's like a religious experience when you watch soccer over there.
Who's worse fans, Toronto NBA fans or soccer hooligans in England?
It's definitely soccer hooligans, man. Come on.
I mean, their name is hooligans. I mean, of course they're worse. Did you watch? You watching Chernobyl on HBO?
Watching a little Chernobyl. That's a good one. Watching, what else am I watching?
Cobra Kai. Are you watching Cobra Kai on YouTube?
I watched a little bit of that, but not too much.
Oh, I love that.
What am I watching? The show Bad Blood. Have you seen this one?
No, what's Bad Blood?
Montreal, mafia type stuff. Check it out.
What channel's that on?
I don't know. It's Netflix.
Oh, all right. I can watch that.
You know, what else am I watching? I've always got something brewing. I'm always watching something, Hawk.
You know, on this day 33 years ago, Ferris Bueller's Day Off debuted. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, like 50 times.
Yeah, I bet Crowder. Yeah, 33 wow. years ago. I bet Crowder's never seen it. You ever seen it?
When the dude slid across the floor in his socks.
No, that's risky business.
Oh, okay.
That's risky business, man. Come on. What are you doing?
Stole his dad's car.
Yeah. Yeah, Ferris Bueller stole it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stole his dad's car.
I get them mixed up.
You've seen that. Wow.
Matthew Broderick and yes. Tom Cruise look a lot alike.
Yes.
I hear you.
33 years ago today, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And E.T., 37 years ago today, opened in theaters.
You're just a wealth of knowledge, as usual.
It's Solana. He puts together one heck of a show sheet. Thank you, John Crotty.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There you go, John Crotty. I want to watch. You watching that show, Bad Blood?
Huh?
You heard of that, Bad Blood?
Bad Blood?
All right. Get some songs. He doesn't know what's going on there. Get some songs, will you? So when USA scores a goal, we can fire off some patriotic songs.
I think I got something for you, Hawk.
What do you got? What do you have on tap there?
Well, nothing yet, but after this break, I might have something.
All right. Oh, I think I know what's coming, and I got excited. You have any idea what's coming?
No.
I think I know what's coming. You know what's coming?
What's coming?
Jack.
Oh,
I think I might know what's coming in the next segment. We'll come right back.
Radio.com.
This is Crowder's Twitter bio. Wasn't me.
Bro, this song helped out a lot of men.
I bet.
Don't tell on yourself.
It wasn't me.
Keep riding out.
Deny, deny, deny.
Tell a lie enough times it becomes the truth. Isn't that a saying? No?
Worked for OJ. Right? Worked for OJ.
What's going on with OJ? Did he get married or something?
It's so funny that you asked that. I don't know if it's funny or not. And I know Solana probably wanted to play his game here, but hold on a second. 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. I bookmarked this story yesterday from the AP about OJ. And then I just said it worked for OJ. And then you just said, so what's OJ up to? It's the funniest damn thing. It says AP exclusive. OJ Simpson says life is fine after prison. And it's a little catching up on OJ. So now that you're curious, I will tell you via the AP yesterday, what is going on with OJ Simpson? 25 years after the grisly killings that transformed him from Hall of Fame football hero to murder suspect, 71-year-old O.J. Simpson says he is happy and healthy, living in Las Vegas, plays golf nearly every day, stays in touch with his children. Life is fine, Simpson told the Associated Press in a telephone interview from his phone. He added that neither he nor his children want to talk about June 12, 1994, the night his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman, were stabbed to death. Simpson also ultimately acquitted in the trial of the century. We don't need to go back and relive the worst day of our lives, he said, as Wednesday's anniversary. Oh, today or tomorrow is the anniversary of the killings. I didn't realize that. The subject of the moment is the subject I will never revisit again. My family and I have moved on to what we call the no negative zone. We focus on the positives. Relatives of the two victims are disgusted. Simpson is able to live the way he does while their loved ones had their lives cut short so tragically. Down here. He has continued to declare his innocence. The murder case is officially listed as unsolved. Some of his property, you know, he had that civil judgment against them. They haven't received much of it. He later served 9 years in prison for robbery and kidnapping over an attempt to steal back some of his sports memorabilia from a Las Vegas hotel room. He insisted his conviction and sentence were unfair, but says, quote, I believe in the legal system and I honored it. I served my time. For a man who once lived in the spotlight, Simpson has generally kept a low profile since his release in October 2017. His parole officer has given him permission to take short trips, including to Florida, where he's got two younger children, Justin and Sydney. They've built careers in real estate. His older daughter, Arnell, lives with him most of the time. He's visited relatives in Nevada. After he got out of prison in Nevada, many expected him to return to Florida, where he had lived for several years, but friends in Las Vegas persuaded him to stay here. The town has been good to me. Everyone I meet seems to be apologizing for what happened to me here. The glamour of his early life is just a memory. After his football career, Simpson became a commercial pitchman, once a multimillionaire, blah, blah, blah. He declined to discuss his finances, other to say that he lives on his pensions. So he's living a golfer's life in Las Vegas. But it actually reminds me of a story that Crowder has once told us of running into O.J. Yeah. Simpson at an airport. Share that story quickly.
But first off, he's not living a good life. Like, he's saying he's living a good life. He has asked parole officer to go places. Sits around like, no, he didn't. He just got out of jail for 9 years. That's not a good life. He can paint it as that because he said he's in the positive zone.
I mean, he lives in a country club and plays golf every day. It's not a bad life.
Yeah, wasted up millions of dollars, and now everybody looks at him and they get scared like I was when I tell this story when I was sitting at a restaurant with him and he grabbed a knife.
I don't think, like, I think people want to take their picture with him and stuff, which is the funny part of your story.
I have a picture with OJ.
Right, and what'd your mom tell you?
Put it in the drawer.
Right.
Don't put that crap on this wall. He's a killer.
But yeah, tell everybody what happened.
I said, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, mommy.
Yes, mommy.
You're at an airport. You're flying to some event.
It was rookie year, and me and Ronnie Brown were the rookie faces of the Dolphins. Matt Roth was the second-round pick. I was third, but Matt Roth is a different human. Nobody wants to talk to Matt Roth. So they put me ahead of Matt. Anyway, long story short, me and Ronnie Brown had to fly to New York to do an autograph signing, and those cards, all the big cards, you know, the Topps cards and all the rookie sign cards, they bring you one weekend up to New York and you walk through these big-ass warehouses.
You just sign and sign and sign.
I think I told you the number back in the day. It was like 6,000 signatures or something crazy. You just sign, sign, sign. You take a 30-minute break, go sign for another hour and a half, take a 30-minute break. You're just signing and signing and signing. But everybody was there. First time I ever met Lawrence Taylor was there. He was my on-the-field childhood hero. Lawrence was crazy as hell off the field, too. But this is when I met Barry Sanders. Like, that was the time I met most of, like, the Hall of Famers I met. So, like you said, O.J. lived in Fort Lauderdale. So, O.J. was there as well.
And this is after the murder trial. This is after.
It's 05.
Yeah.
It was my rookie year.
Right.
So, 2005. So, we fly up there. And then, as we're leaving on that Sunday morning, I think it was a Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and we leave Sunday morning, the flight to Fort Lauderdale that me and Ronnie are on is delayed. So then we're looking around, and whatever, there's a bunch of airports in New York, but we're in the little one. There's a big-ass airport. There's a smaller one, I found out. We were in the little one, and in our little terminal, there was only one sit-down restaurant. So when we found out the flight was delayed, we were like, damn, we need to go run and get a table real fast. So me and Ronnie ran and got a table, and then OJ and about two or three of his homeboys walk in. So we have the only table, but it's me and Ronnie, like a table for eight, and just me and Ronnie sitting there. That's all they had left. So then they saw us. They, you know, a bunch of big black dudes at the airport. We know we're all there for the same reason. So they asked us, like, hey, you mind if we sit down? And me and Ronnie, we're kind of looking at each other like,
that's OJ.
We can't say no. So we're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he sits down. They all sit down. Lady comes, asks for our drinks. And then she brings the place settings. So when she comes around, she lays the napkin down, the fork and the knife, napkin down, fork and the knife, napkin down, fork and the knife in front of OJ. Like, Ronnie kind of kicks me under the table, and we're thinking the same thing you know, that his friends were thinking.
Like you're laying a knife in front of OJ.
And this was the funny part. One of his buddies just real discreetly reached over and grabbed his knife and fork and slid it away from him. And they kind of chuckled.
It was like an inside joke for them.
Between them, but me and Ronnie were like, do we laugh?
Right, that's
like,
gallows humor.
Yeah, I was saying, we're uncomfortable sitting with this dude. So now you want us to laugh at a joke on the reason why we're scared of you? And it was so uncomfortable. Sit there. He's goofy as hell. The thing about his head is freaking gigantic. His head is way bigger than it should be for his body. But he's a big old goofy. Just a regular old dude. But
gallows humor, man.
But I'll tell you, I overly laughed at everything he said.
Didn't want to set him off.
I'm telling you, man, I'm not, you know, I haven't bought no gold, you know, golden spoon in my mouth, whatever it is. But just sitting that close to him and knowing the stories you heard leading up to now you're sitting with him just drinking a beer, I was a little scared. Like, are you a murderer?
Right.
Like, it went through my head 150 times. Like, I'm just staring at him. He's telling some old lame-ass joke, lame-ass story about golfing. And I'm like,
he knew the murderer.
Did you kill two people? It was one of the most uncomfortable dinners, lunches I've ever sat at in my life.
Well, there is your O.J. Simpson update. In case you had tuned in today to get an O.J. Simpson update, you just got it.
And then at that airport, I took a picture with him, me and Ronnie. I got it framed. I got it blown up to 8x10 and framed. I had it on my wall with all my LT and Curtis Martin, Danian Tomlinson, all the pictures I had. And my mom came to my house. She said, take it down. Put it somewhere. You shouldn't put that on your wall. That dude's not, he should not be glorified. He should not be put on the wall like he's something special. So that's my mother. I put it in the drawer. It's still in the drawer to this day. My mom doesn't live with me. It's still in the drawer to this day.
USA leading Thailand 3-0 at halftime. Ira Winderman has the very latest on the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant, and the NBA Finals. He usually joins us on Friday, but Ira is going to do a little quick convo with us in the next segment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.